Hello and welcome to The Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate, and I'm so excited to be here with you all. This is our second Feature Friday episode for season 2, and it's only getting better. I hope you stick around and listen to Black women telling their stories, and I hope that as you listen to these episodes that you are encouraged, inspired, that it propels you to tell your story. Some people have shared with me that submitting their work on this podcast has helped them get more out of their comfort zone. Some people are just happy to connect with other Black women, to know that there's other Black women artists that they can relate to. And for some, this podcast is healing. So, you know, those are just a few things that people have shared with me, and it keeps me coming back, right? It reminds me that we just all have a purpose and that we have to link with God to find out what that is, what our purpose is, and how we can use purpose, how we can pursue our mission here on the earth, because our gifts and talents are not just meant for us, you know, for not just meant for us to experience them in our bedrooms and to overthink in our heads. It's so that we can help other people, to know that we can be a blessing to other people and a means to make the world a better place and, you know, bring people to the Lord, which is certainly one of my assignments. And, you know, the path will be hard. It will probably seem crazy. You will be met with doubts, but you will always feel like you can do more or should be doing something more with your life until you are walking on the path of your purpose. The main thing is you gotta try. You gotta make an attempt at it, right? And me being here for a second season is a little manifestation of that. I mean, God, you know, as I talked about before on season 1, you know, God gave me this idea of this podcast because I didn't think of it by myself. And, you know, the podcast that was linked to my purpose, which is telling stories, right? This podcast is literally linked to what I'm meant to do here on the earth. You know, so just let that, think about that, you know. And I was, you know, just trying to remember, like, did I have the voice skills for this? Did I have these type of skills for this? And then I just remembered, like, I needed to jump right in, because what time did I have to waste when I knew that this is something that ultimately I could do and something that I would be, you know, pretty decent at, pretty good at. And so, you know, like I said, I'm just happy to be here. So I just encourage you all to evaluate yourself. And if you can, if you, you know, desire to, evaluate yourself with God, because He knows what you're meant to be doing. And I promise you, once you start the journey, you will not regret it. Okay, so now my favorite part. Yeah, I'm going to be quiet and return a little later in the episode. And I hope you guys enjoy all of today's features.
The Bells of Fairies by Alexis Lawson. Read by Tierra Starks. Every night around the same time, I hear bells outside my window. I assume there's a train of some sort nearby. I never thought to ask, because as quick as they come or as quick as they leave. Some nights when I've had a long day, I like to think whatever it is saying hello to me, a form of special acknowledgement. It's the one thing that never forgets me, never forgetting to tuck me in and say goodnight. I don't know. I wonder what other people think when they hear it. Or maybe I'm just crazy and I'm imagining it. I'm pretty sure the little girl across the hall hears it too. You know, some things are reserved for those who still believe in magic. The little girl, whose name I believe is Molly, sometimes plays on our stairs. She always speaks to me and offers to help bring in my groceries. I always decline, but the offer is sweet nonetheless. One time she told me that when she grew, she wanted to be a fairy. That way she'd never have to go on another airplane, because the first she was on wasn't fun. She said she'd seen them give another girl on the plane a bag of Cheez-Its, but gave her trail mix instead. It made me laugh, because I'd probably be upset too. Being a fairy wouldn't be too bad, right? I could be a Tinker Fairy, like Tinkerbell, but they'd call me Bella Bells. Instead of the white puff on my shoe, it'd be a bell. That way, I'd always make a grand entrance. Okay, maybe more so annoying, but nonetheless an entrance. I often dream about what it would be like to have kids. Molly didn't seem too bad. By the time I have children, will they even like toys or believe in magic? They'll probably come out with some newly developed gene that makes them 10 times smarter than me. Will I have to tell them stories of Santa and the Easter Bunny and how it's so important to believe? Because when they get older, having something to believe in is key. I hope I have little fairies, with cries that remind me of the bells I hear in this apartment, the first thing I got myself, the first thing I could call my own. Tonight, the bells don't ring. Sometimes I don't hear them when I'm in the shower, but tonight they didn't ring. I sat in the seat of my window, looking down about 5 stories. How could I live this high and still be afraid of heights? I look up at the stars and see their abundance and think about my childhood. Some nights I'd sneak out into our backyard to try and count the stars. I kept a journal of each night and left a toy in the exact place I stopped. I probably counted the same 10 stars 100 times.
Then When, by Alexis Lawson, read by Destiny Shireen. Every day I put my glasses on just the same, and questions I have no answer to still remain. If not now, then when? When will I muster up enough courage to begin? When will I let these kinky locks down and let them dance with the wind? Because life's too short to dilute yourself and pretend. Put the faith in yourself and believe this losing streak will end. For the power in your fingertips, knowing that your strongest weapon will never be your hands. And when you're feeling low, give yourself one day to soak, then dust off and try again. Because if you don't do it now, then when?
The Grinder, by Danielle Dotson. Written by Tierra Starks. Movement with a purpose grabs hold of one's soul and positions body upright, takes a deep breath, still worn out from yesterday's work and yesterday's work and yesterday's work, yet very thankful for another yesterday to come. Flick, flash, boil. There goes his morning sip. Soon he is off for that morning dip. Into the shower. Oh yeah, he never forgets that morning caller. Wake up! Wake up! It's the first of the month, as this is often the first words he hears in the AM. I hear 15 more minutes. His requests are heard and made. As a bystander to my beloved, I know once the wake up rings about once more. My knowledge of knowing my lover kicks in, and I know he will request for more rest time, which is granted once more. Then comes the hard part, denying baby's plead. But my comfort lies in knowing that I am everything that he needs. As I hear the water running down his body and hit the bottom of the tub, I hear tunes and oftentimes a background singer. After follows a body in front of me, refreshed from hot water and soap. Hair dripping because that's what completes his shower transaction. A body who loves patiently, painfully, and peacefully. A body that has wear and tear yet still stands strong. A body that often dives face forward but doesn't get buried. A body that didn't give up and has made it through their yesterday. Class, work, work, work. As the repetition continues, this becomes one's temporary life. A body that has made it today. A body that is conditioning for its tomorrow.
Loose Shoes, by Alexis Lawson, read by Destiny Shireen. Blessed are those who get to experience you. Some merely admire the top. Very few pay attention to the sole of the shoe. And many will never understand why I'd hold on to a shoe that appears to be run through. But when shoes feel loose, you just tie them a little tighter, then go back to doing you. And I've learned you only get so far before your truth catches up to you. So every now and again, I sit myself down and give myself the love that I so freely gave to you.
If I Only Had Tomorrow, by Jane Marie Albert, read by Lauren Tate. If I only had tomorrow, I'd take each memory I ever had, gather them all up together, the good ones and the bad. I'd put them in the pockets of my favorite worn-out jeans, fill them exactly to the brim, to the edges, the corners, the seams. You see, where I'm headed, there's no real need but to pack light. Besides, all the tangibles I required aren't even required in this, my new life. The photographs in my head, filed in the cabinets of my brain, are all tucked away, prearranged, emblazoned, and ingrained. Favorite songs, popular poems, familiar quotes, and movie lines. All those little things that ever stole away, measurements of minutes, of moments, of my time. The people, of course, were the very best part, for they make up the memories that decorate the halls of my heart. Dates and times, in all kinds of faces, smells and sights and sounds, pictures and places. As for those who have blessed my life, I shall never forget your names. All I ask is you pass on my memory and remember me just the same, for the joyful sounds of your laughter will peal madly in the air forever after, and the instants of a blink they came, but aren't gone. Each of them special and for an eternity living on. There is this different feeling of solace, of peacefulness not known. I hope this is the grace and the happiness which I have always shown. Now have no fear, for my dear, you're coming too. I've never anticipated making this journey without the company of you. It wouldn't be complete if you didn't come along. The fanciful fantasy would just be worthless and all wrong. There are so many things I'll take with me, but not one single regret, just some old pants full of fond memories I will not soon forget. After all, it's a mere 24 hours. There's no need more I'd want before I go. My life would be replete if only I had tomorrow. I hope you guys enjoyed those precious poems. It's really good when you have the right perspective. Does anybody agree with that? I feel like this lineup, in a way, they all had the theme of perspective in common. In Bells of Fairies, you know, you had the mixture of magic and reality. The bells that were outside the narrator's room gets her thinking. And she assumes it's a train, and that's like a reasonable assumption. But then the narrator starts to imagine if those bells were something else, you know, like a fairy. And I love that. And I chose this piece for this episode because our main feature is an author of a children's book, and so, you know, which we will hear from her soon. But I also chose it because it's a spark of imagination and like thought and hope. And I believe as we get older, we can lose a piece of our imagination and hope if we aren't careful, if we're not wise, you know, if we're not aware, right? So both are incredibly critical to the human experience, hope and imagination, that we all have. And I don't think life would be much living without it. So when I was reading this short story, one line stuck out to me and it says, "Some things are reserved for those who still believe in magic." And I love that so much because there are unique things that are reserved for people who live with imagination and who have hope and, you know, who have faith. And you ask, oh yeah, like, you know, like what, Lauren, like what? And, you know, well, I mean, two things that I could automatically think off the top of my head is greater opportunities, right? Who doesn't want greater opportunities in every area of your life? You know, when you're leading it in a certain way, you're open to more possibility. And yes, you know, I think one thing that I like to point out is that there are bigger failures when you have greater opportunities and when you have, you know, more chances, but there are bigger failures to me that come with even bigger victories. And what that looks like is a life that's full of joy and love. You can look back at your life, you know, as you're moving forward, and you can be like, you know, yeah, this has been worth living. This has been worth it, despite, you know, whatever I've been through. And with everything that I've been through, I was able to get here, right? So it's perspective. And so when you open up to yourself to imagine and create, you open up yourself to the things that are designed and set aside personally for you. And in the poem, Then When, it asks, you know, when will I muster the courage to begin? Because if you don't do it now, then when? Like, when are you going to start saving? To when are you going to travel, you know, to travel to that place or places that you've always wanted to go? When are you going to start writing that book that you know you should have started a year ago? You know, when are you going to start putting yourself out there and telling people about your business and what you do instead of, you know, overthinking about how people will react or judge? When will you muster the courage to begin? You know, because like in Jane Marie's poem, which I love, if you know, titled If Only I Had Tomorrow, she talks about the memories she'd have, the sounds of laughter and her loved ones. And even when the poem first starts, it reads, if I only had tomorrow, I take each memory I ever saved, gather them all up together, the good ones and the bad, right? It's about what kind of life are you creating? Is it one of settling, or are you just getting by? If you only had tomorrow, would you be satisfied with what you've been doing so far? Are you evolving in the way that you need to be? Are the things around you benefiting you to be everything you can be, or are they draining you so that you're unable to move forward? And that's a question to think about, right? Because in Danielle Dodson's poem, The Grinder, the author, you know, slash narrator revels in her partner's existence, seeing him and being with him. And one part in that poem reads, you know, as the towards the end, I think it says, as the repetition continues, this becomes one's temporary life, a body that has made it today, a body that is conditioning for its tomorrow. And I really like that because believe it or not, you have a say in how you are conditioned for tomorrow with your words, mind you. With your words, what you are speaking into and over your life, have you, you know, it's about the words. You can speak what you want to see. And then it's like, you know, even basic things. Have you rested? Are you eating things that fill your body instead of always feeding it with junk? Have you checked in with your support team? If you are a believer, did you pray? Did you read your word? It's all about perspective, and it's something I'm sure that we can all get better at and improve in. So when you hear, you know, when you finish listening to this episode or think about that, you know, really, really reflect and try to think, like, how can I make progress? And just know that I am always talking to you guys as much as I'm talking to myself. So, but if you need a little bit more encouragement, we have an interview coming up with Dr. Amira Mae Woodruff, who is a dentist, actress, and author of a wonderful children's book titled My Wiggly Smile. Super cute, so educational. So stick around for that because we'll be back. We'll be right back in a few short moments. If you are still listening, thank you for tuning in and being a part of the Lost World of Short Stories Feature Friday. Today, I have with me dentist and author Dr. Amira Mae Woodruff to talk about her children's book, My Wiggly Smile. It is a story that follows Olive, a first-time kindergartner, losing her first loose tooth. The picture book was inspired by Dr. Woodruff's everyday life as a dentist. So, hello, Dr. Mae, and thank you for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, this is so exciting. I really wanted somebody on the podcast that wrote a children's book.
Well, I'm glad to be on for that reason. I was very excited to write it.
Yes. So it's sort of becoming a tradition to talk about the covers of people's books on this podcast because I'm just obsessed with covers.
Okay.
And so I wanted to talk about your cover because if anybody doesn't know, obviously, you know, these are Black characters, and on the cover is, you know, Olive and her family. And I just want to talk to you about just the process of the cover and how that came to be, because it easily just could have been Olive on the cover, but you decided to put the whole family in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's a picture book, I wanted it to be something that would be eye-catching for, you know, children and adults. So like the color was really important. I wanted it to be bright. I love that the title is yellow with the black outline, because I think that is more striking. Just like small details like that, I found to be important. In terms of the family being on the front, throughout the book, you'll notice there's some interesting themes outside of even like dentistry or a loose tooth. And one of them is family. Yeah. And so I thought it was important to have the family. Of course, Olive is like front and center and she's the biggest, but I wanted the family on the front too. When I was doing some research about, you know, kind of exactly what I wanted to write and some ideas, I remember learning that even now in today's age in the picture book industry, there are still very few main characters that are little girls, and then even fewer that are little girls of color. Yeah. And so that was like, I already knew that I wanted my story to be about a little Black girl, but I just thought it was really sad that it's like the minority in picture books even now.
Yeah. And I agree, because even I think I was looking on social media sometime, but people as Black people, some we were having issues finding younger Black folks smiling.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, we need this for a project. Because I remember even I needed something for a project and they were like, we can't even find Black people like smiling or just being joyful. And so this book kind of reminded me of that, because I was like, wow, this is representation.
Yeah, that is very, very sad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I know that in the intro I was saying that it inspired this, you were inspired to write this book because you are a dentist. And so I just want to like talk about that process. Like, did you know all along, like when did that moment come where you were like, I want to write this book, I want to tell this story?
Well, I mean, first of all, the littlest patients are so adorable.
Oh,
and they're always so excited when they have a loose tooth. They come in, they're like, Dr. May, I have a loose tooth. And some of them were like, don't touch it. And then others are like, please touch it. Please take it out. I want the tooth fairy to come. So like every kid is different, you know, with how they want the loose tooth situation to go.
Yeah.
But I always had parents who, you know, were either looking for resources or their kids were excited and they would ask me like if I had a book I liked, you know, so I would get those questions every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have anything off the top of my head. So I would always tell them like, oh, let me look and see what I can find for you. Mm-hmm. And of course there's like, you know, some books like growing up, I really liked the Berenstain Bears going to the dentist book, you know, but like, how old is that book?
It's been around for a while. Yeah.
I think it was around for a long time when I first saw it.
Wow. So that's real.
So I was just trying to find something that was a little bit more up to date, something that felt more personable, and I just couldn't find it. And so I would keep looking and I'm like, well, I mean, there's other stuff here, but not something that I would be excited about as a parent to like read with my kid. And so I was like, I had in the back of my mind, you know, maybe I can, you know, try writing something sometime. So then it was kind of in my mind for a while. And then one day I was just like, you know, I should just write that book. So I sat down and just wrote, you know, like over a couple of days, just kind of wrote out the general idea of, you know, the general manuscript.
Yes.
And then it just sat on the shelf for years. And then finally I was like, you know what? I need to just do it. And so I took it back out, rewrote it, and was serious, found an editor, found an illustrator, and put it out there.
I love that. Have you always been a writer, or was this your first project?
This was my very first project, and that's part of the reason why it sat on the shelf for so long. I think just imposter syndrome, because like I really, I know your podcast is about books, and I or, you know, short stories, poems, skits. Yeah. I know you talk about it all. I have a real respect for that space. Mm. And I didn't want to feel, or anyone else to feel like, oh, that's what you do for a living. I can do that too, even though that's not what I do. You know, mm. I can just write a book and put it out there. And so right. I didn't feel comfortable at first, you know, mm. but then I was like, well, how many people would be excited by this? It might not be perfect. It might not be something that is deserving of a literary award, mm-hmm. but there still might be kids who get excited seeing someone yeah. on the cover that looks like them. And I feel like I'm doing a disservice by just keeping it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think too that, you know, I always say our gifts, even though sometimes they might be a surprise to us, aren't just for us, right? You know, they're for other people to experience.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you wrote this book, because even when you said, you know, like, you know, how would other people feel when they, you know, looked at these characters, and I was like showing it to my mom. I was like, the minute I saw the cover, I was like, I don't even know what's inside this book, but I want her on the podcast. Because I was like, this is so good. And my mom was like, she was like, yeah, it's just normal Black people. She's like, this is so wholesome.
Yeah.
Just passing it around the kitchen table. Like, look at this.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. I love that so yeah. much.
Yeah. So I mean, that was in our home. So I believe that, you know, anybody who reads it will just, I mean, you know, be happy and just, you know, enjoy telling that story to their kids. Cause like, you know, like the book says, and as obviously, you know, everybody does go through losing a tooth, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I thought was important too, is having something that parents could find helpful in the book as well. So in the back, yeah. it has like a chart, cause parents are always wondering like, is my kid doesn't have any loose teeth. Are they behind? Or are they, all their mm-hmm. teeth are falling out? What's happening? Are they something going wrong? And so it has a chart where it can, you know, you can look to see, okay, are they on track? But then it also lets you know on that chart, you know, everyone's different. So like, don't be worried if something is a little bit off with the timing. Yeah. And then there's a place where kids can get excited and keep track and know how many baby teeth they have left. And yeah. that's a question they always ask. They're like, you know, how many teeth do I have left? Or all, they're like, all my baby teeth are gone. I'm like, actually you have 8 more. It's because they don't expect to have 20 teeth that are lost, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, okay. So 2 questions. How long have you been a dentist?
Yeah. So I've been a dentist for 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
And my husband and I both went to University of Michigan for undergrad and for dental school.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, after dental school, we both worked for his father, who is also a dentist, but is recently retired. Mm. We worked for him for a couple of years, and that's, or for 5 years. And that's where I originally wrote the book. And then we opened our own office in 2016.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then my second question was, if you have any on the top of your head, but like, what has been like the funniest or like cutest story of like a little one coming in with a loose tooth?
Oh, that, with a loose tooth, let me see. I think probably just the first time, because I always think of kids being like worried about the dentist pulling a tooth. You know, reasonably. And I think just the first time a little kid was like, no, take it out. I want the tooth fairy to come tonight. That was just so sweet.
I love
so
that.
Sweet. Yeah.
It was crazy too, because when I was reading this book, and I'm about to get into the characters, but when I was reading this book, I had thought about my first tooth, you know, coming out. And then the main thing, because something weird had happened to me, but I had like, I don't know what they're called, but like an extra row of teeth in high school.
Hmm.
And my math teacher called them shark teeth, so I just ran with that. But you know, they obviously weren't supposed to be there. And so I was literally at one point in high school with my teeth coming out, literally doing math class, because my wow. gums were pushing them out and they weren't supposed to be there. And I was just like, everybody was like, why is her teeth like coming out? She big, like. And I was like, I don't know, but I'm so happy that they're coming out, because I thought I was gonna have to get these pulled, but the fact that they're coming out by themselves, I'm just really glad. And it was really weird.
Well, a lot of people actually, and that is a question we get from parents a lot, like they think something's wrong because the baby teeth are still there, the permanent teeth are coming in like a row behind the teeth, and they're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But what happens is baby teeth only come out because a permanent tooth pushes it out. So if a permanent tooth doesn't come in directly underneath that baby tooth, let's say it comes in behind it, which usually it would be behind it instead of in front of it.
Yeah.
Then it can just bypass the baby tooth and the baby tooth can never get loose.
Oh, wow.
So then you have to take the baby tooth. Then you have like a couple rows of teeth until that baby tooth is taken out. And then the permanent tooth is either on its own, just kind of drifts into the right position, or you have to have some sort of orthodontic treatment to move it in the right position. But yeah, that's actually very, very common.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because my teeth were so crooked and they just straightened right back out. I was like, oh, that's nice.
On their own?
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
I was so happy because I was like, I really didn't want braces and glasses. So.
Well, I had both. You would have been in good company.
Really? I'm sure you were beautiful because I was just like, some people would do it. And I'm just like, you look really great, but I don't know if this life is for me. But anyways, so you, so the main character is, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so Olive Carabelli.
Yeah, so there's like some little dental references in here. So Carabelli is a name that dentists would recognize.
Oh.
But so that's where it came from. And a lot of the names, including
what
the
does
title,
it mean? Does it mean any?
No, it's just the name of someone who named a structure in the mouth whose last name was Carabelli.
Oh, okay.
There's a little cusp on a tooth on your top teeth in the back that's called the cusp of Carabelli.
Oh,
so like when I have dentists who happen to read the book, they'll contact me like, okay, Carabelli.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. So what I was saying is a lot of the names, including the title, you know, there wasn't like a whole lot of thought that went into it. A lot of it was just intuition. Like the name came and I was like, I like it. It fits. Let's go. It's like, I'm not giving myself any more reason to hold up and put this book back on the shelf.
Right. That's good. And so there's this point in the book where, I forget how it goes, but Olive gets a badge of honor. I think that when she loses the teeth or something, that when she sees us, I forget how it is, but she sees that her classmate Jordan, that she's lost a tooth because she sees that a space, you know, is between her teeth. So she's like, oh, you lost the tooth, Jordan. And then Jordan mentions that she was excited to finally color her first tooth, missing in the book, My Wiggly Smile. And so I love this because it kind of like breaks the fourth wall.
Exactly. And
so I wanted to ask, like, was this intentional from the very beginning to have the book inside the book?
Yeah, I thought that would just be funny, especially because like later in the book, you see her cousin holding the book and like she's on the front.
Yeah.
She's on the front of the book. It was just to be silly. But I did like that her friend, you know, was excited talking about this book and she didn't know about the book. And then when she got home, her dad happened to have bought her the book that day because he knew that she had a loose tooth.
Mm-hmm.
That was intentional.
Okay. I like that. And then because I forget, what was the thing with the tooth holder necklace? Was that inside the book or was that separate?
Yeah, so it's inside the book of her dad. Her dad bought her the book and the tooth holder necklace. And so when she goes to the dentist later on and Dr. May, who's me, takes out the tooth, she gets to put it in her tooth holder necklace. So I actually have on my website, there's merchandise on the website for the book. And one of the things is a tooth holder necklace. So like if kids are at school,
if that was on there.
Yeah, because when kids are at school, a lot of times they're really sad if they lose a tooth, you know, on the playground or something, and they lose it, you know, because they really want they want to put it under the pillow. And so that's the idea behind it, so they can keep it to take it home.
I love that. And that's so like, I mean, it's so small, but like also like an in-depth, like just you thinking about it, but stretching the thought like, oh, let's create this and then let's make it real for the actual like children. I'm like,
I remember when I was little, like stuff in books, you know, or on TV shows that characters you liked, you wanted what they had. And so I was like, well, if Olive has a tooth holder necklace and there's a child who's reading the book and who wants one too, I can at least make that available for them. And it makes me think of, I remember one of my favorite shows was Inspector Gadget growing up.
Yes.
I remember how Penny had her computer book, which is basically just a laptop, but back then there was no such thing as laptops. And I remember for like probably a good 5 years, the number one thing on my Christmas list was computer book. Even though there was no such thing as a computer
book. I love that.
Because she had it and she was one of my favorite characters and I wanted what she had.
Man, that's good. And then just like
putting out there what you want to see, even though, even if it's not around yet.
Right.
You know, yeah. That too. So it was, okay, so wait, two things. Okay, so before I get to the next one is, in the chart, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, in the chart, I forget if it's separate, the alphabet letters, because when it says somewhere in the book, it says like she lost the letter O.
Yes.
And so yes. When did that come into play? Was there a chart with the alphabet on it, or I forget?
So in dentistry, all of the teeth have, all the baby teeth have letters. So that's how about them. So that was not made up.
Okay.
And then adult teeth all have numbers. So like if you go to the dentist and you hear them saying like, oh, we have to do a filling, they probably won't say this to you, but if you overhear them saying it to their assistant, we have to do a filling on tooth number 13, it then automatically, it's just a way to communicate about where you're talking about in the mouth.
Oh, okay.
And so baby teeth are letters, and O and P are the two front lower teeth, and those are the two first teeth to come out. So she happened to lose O.
Oh, okay. Oh, that all makes sense now. I'm being educated.
Yeah, and that's the point, because I want kids to be like, oh my gosh, I lost tooth O. Like, I want them to know what's going on.
Exactly. And then, I mean, and then I'm just thinking now too, like, because it is educational and fun, you know, this is also just helping to encourage those young kids that might want to be dentists when they grow up.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the more surprising outcome I've had from this book, that because Olive is a Black little girl, but also the dentist is a Black woman, that I've had way more than I anticipated, because I anticipated zero. Yeah. I've had more parents. I've had way more parents telling me that their daughter wants to be a dentist now, because they had never thought of it or considered it as a choice for themselves. Yeah. And of course, these are young children saying this, but when I was six, I had a Black male dentist. And when I was 6 years old, I told him that I was going to be a dentist like him one day. And it's because I had the representation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And I'm just like, that's sad that we don't have enough, but it's also very hopeful that, you know, like you said, it would have been sitting on the shelf, but you like, you know, pushed ahead and decided to publish it anyway, and just look at the responses now.
Yeah.
So it was really funny to me that with the grandpa, he says he still has a baby tooth, and Olive's like, what you talking about, granddad? Like, you old. I was cracking up. I was like, okay, so how did you come up with this part? Is that something that really happens? Because I feel like it would be. And then, yeah, can you just talk about that?
Yeah, so I put it in there exactly because of what your response was. You thought it was funny, but it is a real thing. So like I was saying, how baby teeth only come out because a permanent tooth pushes it out. Yeah. So not only do you have the scenario I gave earlier where the tooth comes in a different position so it doesn't push out that baby tooth, but some people are born with certain teeth missing. It's called congenitally missing teeth. And so if you have a baby tooth and below it is no adult tooth, then that baby tooth never has a reason to get loose and come out, and you would have it forever.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that does make sense. I'm learning, guys. I'm learning. And then I had another question. I forget. Okay. So you're a mom, correct?
I am a doggy mom.
Oh, you are.
And I have all of his baby teeth.
That's so great. Do dogs have baby teeth?
Yeah, so
they do. Yeah, that makes sense.
All the same way. Yeah, they get loose and they fall out. But most people, you know, they just fall out. You don't ever see them because they're so tiny. But like, I was like watching his teeth like a hawk. Like, I knew which ones were loose. And then if I saw him 1 minute and there was a loose tooth, and I saw him the next minute and there was no tooth, I was looking all over the floor and I found all of his teeth.
That's hilarious. What kind of dog do you have?
He's a golden doodle.
Oh, so cute. Okay, so yes, that was great. Those are my questions. And what I wanted to ask you too, just to end this interview, is what are like 2 to 3 things that you would tell, I guess, just Black women, young Black women, just Black women in general, Black women writers who want to, you know, get their story out there? Like, what would you say to them? What advice would you have?
Well, I would say the first thing is just, if you have an idea, to just pursue it. Yeah. Because, and not only that, but like, so for example, I was mentioning earlier that the book is about a loose tooth. And so of course that's the main theme, but there's other things how we talked about that were important to me. Like I wanted the family to be a family that was together and a Black family. And that was important to me. I also wanted things to not be stereotypically gender focused. So like, for example, Olive, it's very subtle, but after school, she goes home and plays football with her brother. She's not playing dolls in her room, which is nothing wrong with that. But like, we see it so much. Like, why can't she be playing football with her brother?
Yep.
And then in the morning, the dad is making lunches while the mom's doing breakfast. And after school, the dad is the one who's there with them. And after dinner, the mom and the grandmother are sitting having coffee while the dad and the grandfather are doing the dishes. Like things like that. Like, why should that be surprising to see in a book or on TV?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think just the first thing I would say is to, if you have an idea, just pursue it. And then number two would be just to ignore the imposter syndrome. So how I was saying about, I really respect the arts is one of the things that we didn't touch on is that I'm a dentist and, but I'm also an actor. And so, so one day I was on set. This was a day I had, I don't see patients on Fridays. So I do things like interviews like this, or, you know, other things outside of dentistry on Fridays or on the weekend. And I was on set and, you know, there's a lot of downtime on set. And so I told myself, I was like, I'm going to take my manuscript on set. And when I have downtime, I'm going to spend those hours of downtime rewriting it. And so when I left at the end of that day, I had my rewritten manuscript. And the next day is when I found the editor. I also want to make sure people know is that when they find their illustrator, to make sure you stand your ground with that person. Like if they draw a version of your character or characters and it's not what you're looking for, you don't have to settle on it. You can go back and forth. You can make sure that it actually represents what you see in your mind. And if they just can't do it, you can find somebody else.
Yeah.
Because I know when I originally had my illustrator, he did not know how to draw Black curly hair.
Really?
And I didn't think about that as being something that could be an issue when I selected him. Like I found him online. I did a lot of research. I went on Google and researched, you know, there's resources where you can search lots of different illustrators and their work. And so I looked and saw different things. And I liked his work. Not only did I like his work, but I also like that he had experience with self-publishing and how to like format things correctly. And that's something that I wasn't familiar with. So that made him stand out to me as well. So I selected him, but I didn't think about later that, you know, him being a white man, he might not have much experience. Who doesn't draw a lot of Black characters?
Right.
He might not have much experience of drawing Black curly hair. So we went, but I stood my ground. I was like, I don't want my story to come across looking like, okay, well, this is a Black character, but that hair is definitely
not compromising.
Hair. Yeah, exactly. Not compromising on what you see for your vision.
Yeah, that's a big part. I agree. And I always tell my mom, because, you know, just podcasting and writing my own books as well, is that, like you said, stand your ground. And to, because I think also too, because I went to U of M and, you know, they were also, you know, they just reminded us that, you know, you're artists and people just love to steal everybody's work, especially minorities, and change it and shift things to make it seem more, you know, acceptable in society. And, you know, you have to be your own cheerleader for your work. You got to be like, no, this is exactly how I wanted. And I didn't make mistakes and I'm not taking it back.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that.
So yeah. So just ignoring the imposter syndrome, like in all ways in life, not just with what you want to write, but I thought for a long time that because I was a dentist, I made that choice and my other love of acting, I had to ignore. And when I realized that I was putting that block on myself and that wasn't really something that was a real thing, then I just decided I can do both. And so I do both. And then I just happened to say, well, just because I do those things, I'm not a writer, but there's a book that I want in the world and it's not there. So I'm just going to make it.
Right.
So
there you go.
Ignoring imposter syndrome. And I would say the last thing is just for people to know that self-publishing is an option.
Yes.
So at first I didn't know about self-publishing. So when I finished everything, I was kind of like shopping it around, trying to find a literary agent. And I like did a lot of research on like what that process would look like. And I just, it wasn't really going anywhere. And I just didn't like that.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. The other people had the option to be like, not right now.
You know? Yeah. I was like, so, this has been too long for me.
Yeah, exactly. And so then I started learning about self-publishing. It sounded, without knowing any information, like it would be too much or too, too hard to do without me having any background in writing or in this space. And it's not at all. It's very, very easy to self-publish. So if you're interested in writing something, really consider self-publishing. You have more control over it. You actually make more money on your work as well. So, yeah, so that's what, those are the three things I would say.
Yes. And then two things that I just got out of that is, one, I think that's also very encouraging that you, did mention, because I remember reading it, but you're right, I didn't mention it, so I'm glad you brought it up, that you are also an actor, as many other things as well. And that, you know, because I think a lot of kids grow up saying that, you know, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be this, and I'm going to be this. And then when they grow up, people kind of only put them in one box.
Yes.
That makes the most sense. And so it's very encouraging just to hear that from you, because it's like, you know, I was acting, I was on set, and then I also had my book, and then I was doing this. And that's very encouraging, because you don't have to just be one thing or what people say they want you to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I really thank you for sharing that. And then just lastly, where can people find your book, My Wiggly Smile?
Yes. So it's very easy. They can just go to mywigglysmile.com.
Oh, nice.
And that actually takes you to my website, which has the book and has all the merchandise there. And you can find out everything you need to know about me if you're actually interested. And there's all my social media on there too. So that's like the easiest way to find me.
Excellent. And I will have that in the bio for anybody who wants to buy that book, just know more about Dr. May. And lastly, you know, just thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Lauren. It's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you today.
Thank you. And if you write anything else, let me know.
We'll do.
So we can have you on again. And so I just hope you have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Dr. Mary Mae Woodruff discussing her children's book, My Wiggly Smile, which can be found on her website, mywigglysmile.com, and that's mywigglysmile.com. I also put the link in the bio as well. I think this book is great for parents to read with their children. It's everything we need in our community, which is education and representation. So order a copy, or, you know, buy it as a gift for someone that has young children. Also, if this was your first time listening to The Lost World of Short Stories, I'm so glad you came for whatever reason brought you. And I hope you come back for our Wednesday episode, because this season I have teamed up with my aunt and psychologist, Dr. Carol Van Dyke, to bring you all a 5-part series on self-acceptance. The second episode coming up is on the topic of body image, and I don't want anyone to miss that. So don't forget to turn on your notifications, add to your favorites, subscribe, and share. This podcast can be another tool for the Black girls and women in your life where they can see that they matter. Lastly, if you want to follow me or stay up to date when I post about the podcast, you can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. That's LaurenTateBooks. And Facebook at Lauren Tate, as well as LinkedIn at Lauren Tate. And, you know, never forget that you are important, you are loved, and your story is worth being told.